Right before we jump into today's episode, I want to tell you about the latest newsletter that we have, Marathon Selling Running Club. So it's a different way that I'm building community, right? I'm a runner. I hate running, but I decided to get out there because, you know, you got to get your fitness up and the gyms are still closed here in Cali. So I'm back on the hitting the pavement again. I did a marathon a couple years ago and I'm bringing it back. So I'm going to run through my training routines and I'll be sharing my workouts as well as just sharing what people are doing throughout the community. So I want to just make this more so an engagement place, more so where we can keep each other accountable, as well as talk about the latest sales and growth strategies. So if you're interested in learning more or jumping on that, it's totally free. No, nothing that you got to pay to kind of be involved or any of that. Just trying to make sure that we bring some like-minded people together around building businesses as well as building healthier bodies. So go over to joealexlemon.work or you go to salesculture.work. Or of course, I'll have a link right in the show notes. All right, let's get into today's conversation. Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Real Value Exchange Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Lemon. And I'm really excited to bring a great guest for you guys today, especially if you're into branding or healthcare. Matthew Ray Scott is literally the guy, I think he's the glue, he's the guy that I really respect when it comes to producing content that is really self-aware. And it's really all about trying to provide innovative solutions and ideas to people without any strings attached. He has a great formula for doing it. And you gotta stay tuned and listen to what he does before 7 o'clock. He has a 7x7 thing I think that I'm going to implement. I think anybody in our space should implement, whether you're in healthcare or not. If you're into growing your business, this is something that we should all be looking into doing. So with that said, enjoy this episode with Matthew Ray Scott. Let's get into it.
You know, Joe, you were talking through a question about creating content. And if you lead from a place of value, and then you put it on a channel to amplify to people, it's one of the most humble, generous things that we could be doing. And so where I think that a lot of people get confused is they view developing content on LinkedIn and other channels as self-promotion, and it can be. Mm-hmm. But if you come from a place of self-awareness rather than self-promotion, good things happen because you focus more on the needs of other people than the needs of your own self or self-adulation. It always works out well. It's what our mama taught us when we were kids.
Yeah,
comes full circle now that we're all grown up.
Back to the basics, man. I mean, and you know, I got to say, first and foremost, really excited to have you on the podcast, Matthew Ray Scott. You've been putting out some gems on LinkedIn, talking about content creation. Just a lot of good stuff for people in our space. I know it's not a huge space, I don't feel like, but I feel like for those that know, like, you really got some good context and some good conversations to at least get them thinking, you know, whether they want to roll with you or not. I think that you got some good insight, man, and you're bringing something different to the scene. Just to kind of dive into out the gate, but I want to start with something kind of weird. So you used to live in like San Diego, is that right?
Yes. So we still have an office in San Diego.
Yeah.
My family and I, longtime residents of San Diego. So yes.
Okay, perfect. So I'm in like Pasadena and I was born and raised in Pittsburgh. And I'm like, I didn't even know places where you can have great weather like this existed when I was like 10 years old, right? On a consistent basis. And so I have to ask, why did you leave San Diego and go towards the middle of the country? Because I got some thoughts there, but I want to hear why you're in Arkansas now.
Would you rather be the king of Arkansas or the prince of San Diego?
I love it. I love it. So I got this crazy theory, my man. I'm not sure it's that crazy. I think everybody's doing it. I think the whole cat's out the bag. I think the middle of the country is one of the biggest opportunities in the U.S. I think the coast has been eating up like crazy, and there's good margins in the middle as far as profitability.
Cost of living,
yeah.
Quality of living. You know, yeah. Here's what I had to learn in building a lifestyle design business. Mm-hmm. You see, a lifestyle design business doesn't mean that you're looking to work less. A lifestyle design business means that you're wanting to do more quality work, mm-hmm, with people that appreciate you appreciate them, at a higher profitability. And at the end of the day, when you have employees like I do, and you want them to live their best life, then what happens is you become more aware of cost of living and quality of living. Now, your question's a good one because San Diego is known for amazing quality of living. Mm-hmm. Our kids went to high school there. I mean, we had a beautiful place in the Carmel Valley, Del Mar area, right by the beach. But I made a decision. My father planted a seed. You see, my father was just a great inspiration in my life. He was a great businessman. And my dad told me this one time, because I asked him, I was living in San Diego. This was 1 week before my father unexpectedly passed away. Mm. And Joe, this is a true story. I said, Dad, why do you choose to live in Arkansas when you can afford to live anywhere? And my dad said, would you rather be the king of Arkansas or the prince of San Diego? So the reason why I responded to you in that way is it's good to be the king of Arkansas. Yeah. I mean, our quality of life and our cost of living, a dollar goes further. And you got to remember that our agency operates all over the United States. So while it is a little more centrally proximate, I'm able to, me, myself, and part of our team that's here, we're able to fly left coast, right coast with ease in a way that, as you well know, Pasadena, San Diego, it's the other side of the moon.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's a full day just trying to get back to the East Coast, and you're automatically got to spend at least a day of, you know, just trying to get that whole 3 hour time difference to happen, man. And I think what you're bringing up is really important from quality of a living standpoint. And it's important from the opportunities that a lot of people have these days, because we're doing so much online. And you don't have to be a lot of places in person every day of the week as maybe as you did a couple of years back or even last year, right?
And you know what, Joe? Clients could give a rip if you're on the hill in Pittsburgh.
Yep.
I've got an uncle who played for the Pirates. That's another conversation.
Get out of here. Okay.
Oh, yeah. That's another conversation for you and I. But clients don't care where you live.
Nope.
It's a virtual business. What they care about is you delivering upon solutions. And increasingly, those are virtual delivery solutions that we provide. I mean, truth be told, I've talked to so many people, and we talk about this concept of business as usual. And we've all come to the agreement of, why would you ever want business to be that way again?
That's a great point, man. Yeah. I'm really glad that you went there early, because I want to dive into it. You know, you and Joe Mullings, I believe, had a really good interview on YouTube that I caught. He's putting out a ton of content too. I think you guys are killing it online, both of you guys. And so I was pumped to see you two talking. And one of the questions that you asked him what hasn't changed about where we are today? And I'm going to put it back on you. What do you think hasn't changed about this whole pandemic space and us being in healthcare where we are?
Yeah, the reason why I asked Joe that question is when you phrase a question, it's a learning lesson for all of us, myself included. Mm-hmm. When you ask somebody what hasn't changed for you, it's a different mindset shift. This is the behavioral scientist in me coming out. It's a different mindset shift than the boring question of, you know, flipped another tense. So my answer of what has not changed is in alignment with what Joe Mullins and I were talking about. What's not changed is that people are looking to find the specialist within their specialty. In healthcare, if you buy my premise that Mrs. Jones in Pittsburgh or Altoona, you didn't see me throwing out an Altoona, Pennsylvania on you, Joe.
I definitely didn't see Altoona coming today, but yeah.
Hey, I'll throw out Tawanda if this call gets crazy. But if Mrs. Jones from Altoona, Pennsylvania has an ouch on her left knee, she's looking for the left knee orthopedic surgeon specialist. Not the right knee, but the left knee orthopedic surgeon specialist. And so what's not changed is that patients are looking for specialists. They're not looking for full service providers. Hmm. We can do everything, Mrs. Jones, anything under here. We can do all this. And so that's what's not changed on the patient-centric standpoint. What's not changed for you and I as kind of ombudsman, if you will, in providing solutions to healthcare professionals, medical device companies, what's not changed is that how do we connect with busy surgeons in a way that incites curiosity, in a way that increases product or service consideration, and in a way that decreases the amount of time that it takes for them to go, Joe, Matthew, you're a solution. I'm willing to pay you to resolve me of this pain. That's not changed. It will not change. Whether that is operated in this pseudo virtual environment or you and I are back to, you know, knocking on doors and trying to get past Gloria the gatekeeper. It hasn't changed. It will not change.
Yeah, Gloria the gatekeeper, man. You know, there is a, it's cool too when you kind of bring up some of these thoughts, is because a lot of things haven't changed. Like, you know, even with this, you know, craziness that's happening, and back in LA County, as you probably already know, that going back down into deep lockdown, right? Shut everything down.
Oh, I'm flying to LA tomorrow. So I'm going to be in the thick of it.
And that's what I respect the most. I mean, because there's a way to do it. There's a way to get out there. There's a way to be responsible with it, of course, and everything else. But, you know, man, this is such a huge opportunity for guys that are interested in really growing their business, if you're serious about the opportunity, right? I mean, and I've done some traveling, man. The airports have been the least. I mean, getting to LAX has been a breeze as I've been traveling throughout this season. And again, I'm not doing a ton. I'm not just, you know, taking random trips all over the place. I'm not licking the actual staircase, you know, none of those things.
You bring up a great point, Joe. So I'm traveling every week. Yeah. And I did a video where I was in a deserted Dallas airport, and I was saying to people, and for the record, I am in no way saying be unsafe. I am in no way say, you know, avoid or disavow public policy. I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
What I am saying is that if you apply safety measures, and if you're willing to go from point A to point B, there's never been a better time to meet with a client that has nothing to do with you and be 6 feet apart. Mm-hmm. They know that you flew into the eye of the storm. Mm-hmm. And they're willing to meet you at the Wild Blueberry Cafe for breakfast. Yeah. They know that you're on your own dime. They haven't paid you a penny to be there. It is a great time to have a conversation, so that when you go back to your home turf and the next time you're meeting on Zoom, they're like, I know that person. Mm-hmm. I know that person. And I've been flying out almost every weekend on my own dime to clients that have nothing to do with us. But Joe, I can tell you that many of those people that sit across at a blueberry pancake, they're clients of ours now.
I don't doubt that at all. I mean, and it makes tons of sense why you would want to work with someone like yourself, who's willing to demonstrate how you're going to do that extra mile or do the extra step or provide that extra quality of service. So, I mean, obviously I've been watching you on LinkedIn. We actually spoke a couple times virtually. So it's not
our friend Colin Joseph, Mr. Joseph.
Joseph
Collins. Hey, let's give Mr. Colin Joseph a shout out. He is the best.
Definitely give him an actual plug. You know what? So I'm going to have this like to be a special clip just for him, so we can let him know that he's doing good work out there, man, because he really is. Like, I mean, like he's one of those guys that knows how to bridge people with no strings attached. Like there was nothing I could, you know, he wasn't going to get any of my business. I wasn't going to pay him for any of his stuff. Right. It was just literally networking the right way.
Connector, genuine, articulate, smart.
Yeah.
Big Colin fan.
Same, man. Same. Dude. So if you don't mind, Matthew, could you take us back to, just because I'm really curious about your history, and I think the audience might get something out of this too. Take us back to when you got fired. Because I remember you said that, you know, this industry is changing, and you talked about how things were going to be this messy middle. If you don't mind bringing up a little bit of pain, because obviously you're on the whole other side of it, if you don't mind pressing into what that experience was like and what you saw coming down the pipeline.
Well, actually, I wish I was fired. I wasn't fired. I was let go.
Okay.
Laid off with everybody else. And so I use my words carefully. I wish that I was fired. It would have been easier than being laid off, because laid off means that you don't have enough business to keep you. So here's my storyline that I think is relevant for whoever is listening. I had already been at the height of my corporate career. I was, a co-developer of a biotech. We sold that for 16 times earnings to Medtronic. I had worked for a visionary CEO. We had worked together in two different settings. I ran the business unit, which we sold to Medtronic for 16 times earnings, good friend, et cetera. So I'm in Portland on a 2-year sabbatical. So I turned to my wife, Joe, I kid you not. I turned to Sweet Sandy and I'm like, hey, allow me to have my midlife. So let me start back. Sure. So the question was, what is it that I learned from being laid off at a key point in time of my career, and how is that applicable for somebody listening to us? Mm-hmm. The back story to that is I was at the height of my corporate career. I was the business director of a biotech company that we sold to Medtronic for 16 times earnings. I had some money in my pocket. I turned to Sweet Sandy. I said, hey, I was 40 years old. I was like, I want a 1-year midlife crisis. Yeah. Can you give me my allowance? Sweet Sandy said, yes. I went to culinary school, spent more money. She's
get
like,
out of here.
Oh yeah. She's like, hey, do you want to be a chef? I'm like, no, man, I just want to be able to cook great food for our family and our friends on Friday night. So I did that. And then I got a call from my buddy, the CEO. And he said, Matthew, will you come back to this new company that we started, head up social media, head up, client development, digital marketing. And it wasn't part of my plan. I had already planned on starting Feed at this point, or an agency to be determined. But I came back, and 11 months later, me and my entire team mm-hmm. were laid off. Now, we saw it coming, meaning the company wasn't growing, we saw it coming, et cetera. And so I would have done the same thing. I would have laid me off too. I would have laid off our entire marketing and sales team. I would have done the same thing from a business standpoint.
Yeah.
So here's the lesson learned for people. You think it's a pink slip, but it's a blank page. And right now, granted, I was 41, I was a more mature, so I had a little life experience on my belt, but I left that office from a 28-year-old human resources consultant who walked into the office and told me to grab my stuff, security guards out there. I mean, the whole deal.
Wow.
And a buddy of mine came in and said, get the heck out of here. He didn't use those words, by the way. Yeah. He said, get the heck out of here. We deserve better than this. Get the heck out of here. And so we cleaned our desk out and we walked out, and never to return. Now the company ultimately folded. I mean, it collapsed. So everybody ended up getting laid off, but I walked. We were located near Torrey Pines Beach in San Diego. You're probably yeah. familiar with Torrey Pines Beach.
Yep. Nice area.
We were part of that biotech beach. Oh, and wow. Joe, I walked down the road. I walked down the hill and I walked on Torrey Pines Beach to figure it out.
Yeah.
And I came up with the conclusion, it's not a pink slip. It's a blank page. And 3 hours later, I bought the domain name for Feed the Agency. I had the idea. And 9 hours later, I found my first client.
Get
so,
out of here.
Yeah. So there. So you think that you're being laid off, that it's a pink slip. Hey, it's a blank page.
I love that, man. I mean, and you know, the reason why I wanted you to share that is because you always speak about being able to sell and the importance of selling, and never more than it is. I mean, that is the skill of this time frame that I feel like, or how businesses are like growing. It's not just through pretty pictures a lot of times. It's how can you get these messages conveyed, and how can you present yourself in a way that's meaningful to the audience? And you know, people are being laid off, people are being let go, and there's a lot of hardship on people out there, but I think they need to hear the fact that it is a blank slate, it's wide open, and now it's your canvas to kind of do whatever you want with it, right?
Indeed, it is. And so you have a choice. You can retreat into pity.
Yeah.
And you can try to rationalize it. Or you can look at it as, I've never had more freedom than I have right now. And it doesn't mean that you have to get another job. It doesn't mean that you necessarily have to start your own company. But it does mean that you must confront yourself. And you must have that conversation of being able to answer, what do I want to do, irregardless of the outcome? I did a post yesterday on why medical device professionals, the approach that they can learn from fly fishing without a hook. So Seth Godin talks about how when he was learning to fly fish, he learned to fly fish without a hook because he didn't want the burden of trying to catch a fish. He just wanted to perfect the swinging motion. And he did. Mm-hmm. And his lesson that he can teach all of us is focus on the process and you'll have more fish than you know what to do with. When everybody else is trying to catch fish with an agenda, it's a burden that you weren't meant to carry on day one after being left, on day one of being let go. Mm-hmm. Focus on the practice, focus on the process, and you will build something for yourself if you can, you know, buy into that practice, that you'll have all the clients that you want.
It's so true that, at least from my own experience, the times that I've gotten frustrated in sales or I've been really challenged is always because I'm thinking about the outcomes. It was always, I need to get this deal because, or I want this, you know, it was always something that was tied to some end result. But when I've been at my best, I'm just doing the work, right? And I know that Seth Godin talks about that a lot right now in his book. And it's just spot on, because when you're just focusing on doing great craftsmanship, you're just focused on getting all the details where they need to be. And then the outcome is the outcome, whatever that may be, happen, right? Man, it takes all the burden off you. I mean, you feel lighter as an actual sales professional. So
thank you for sharing. Yeah, I spend a heck of a lot of time personally and professionally focusing on the process. And it's counterintuitive to say you let go of the outcome. You know, I did a post the other day where I talked about how I have this cookbook for success. It's actually a gamify way, you know, being a guy who, Joe, when you come to my house, brother, you're going to eat well. I'm just letting you know.
It goes down over there. Huh?
Yeah. And in the process of that, I'm going to take ingredients. So I'm going to say, hey, Joe, what are you hungry for? Anything you want. I got you covered. And you're going to tell me whatever you want. And then my mind is going to start getting the ingredients for the perfect whatever it is that you're hungry for. And like a cookbook, I'm going to take precise ingredients. So the way that I think, Monday through Friday, I ask myself, and people who are listening, you can do this right now. You can take a sheet of paper and you can say, what are the ingredients or the revenue producing activities that I must be doing so that at 1 p.m. when head trash is entering, when I don't feel like working, or when a client told me, hey, I've got no interest in doing business with you, instead of sucking your thumb in the corner, you can pick an ingredient, pick one, anyone, and then just do it. And so you let go of the outcome, but really what you're doing is you're building, you have the ingredients for the perfect cake. So you do that enough times. You pick flour, sugar, cornstarch, baking powder,
Yeah.
You're going to come up with a cake. It's just going to happen.
It's going to bake eventually, right?
It will bake. It will rise. It will taste good.
I love that, man. I mean, because I rely on this thing called MMA, money-making activities, right?
Well done. And, you know, even
right now, I'm behind on my goal. Now I'm down like another 350,000 or whatever. And I was like, okay, let me just backtrack into this. Normally I would hit the panic button, like, oh, okay, you know, I had a great year last year. Previous years were great, but everybody's behind. So it's not even that much pressure, honestly, with everything. But I was like, let me back into the activities that I got to do. Let me focusing on the key points, key conversations that I got to have. And forget about whether these guys are going to, you know, buy or not, close or not, whatever that outcome is what it is. But I'm going to follow through on the process, right? And it takes away a lot of that extra stress of, is it going to happen? Is it not going to happen? Can I get my quota? You know, like, no. Just focus in day to day. This is happening, that's happening, and this is happening, you know? And mix it together, just like you're talking about with the whole cookbook, man.
Yeah, it's so good. I mean, people say to me, Matthew, you're highly productive. And I go, no, I'm not.
I'm purpose
driven and process focused. And there's a difference.
Yeah. There is. It's a huge difference. And you know, man, I think you got a lot to say about this. I want to get your thoughts here. Just the current state of the union for our space, medical device, healthcare, even marketing as well, because I know you're in that space, branding, I should say. Where are we currently? And maybe as a back end of it, like, where do you see it kind of evolving? Because it is moving. A lot hasn't changed, which is beautiful, but there's a couple moving pieces, I feel like, that might be happening from the patient's buying habits.
Yeah, let's start with the question that you asked me earlier. What's not changed?
Yep.
What's not changed is that patients need healthcare.
Yep.
Patients need to be treated. So that's not changed. Yep. So the truth of the matter is if you work with physicians and healthcare professionals as we do, nothing's changed with respect to the output of my mother, your mother, my brother, your sister. They need help. And so they're going to go to somebody to get treatment. So safety precautions aside, let's now re-engineer this. And then let's now go, okay, so how do we operate? Well, what the only thing that's changed for us is the virtual aspect of what we're doing. And so what an amazing opportunity to begin building relationships that go beyond you standing tall at 6:30 in the morning with a platter full of donuts.
Yeah.
You know, that go beyond, you know, you and I showing up enough times that finally Gloria the gatekeeper gets tired of asking us to leave literature and the doctor will call us. It goes beyond that. It ties into how do doctors want to do business with you and I? And so I just thought through that. How do doctors want to do business with my healthcare brand agency? And they don't want to answer my email. They don't want to take my phone call. So all we did was pivot and said, we're going to lead with such free and generous brand awareness and content that they're going to call us. And that's what's happened during the pandemic. So what I would say to those of us who do not have MD at the end of our name, but we support those who do, less has changed than you think. It's just the virtual time-shifted presence that has changed. And I would tell people listening to me, do you really care, honestly? Does it really matter to you if your doctor views a personalized video with an idea that you give them for free at 10:01 p.m. versus whether they take a Zoom meeting with you at 1 p.m. You got to go back and forth as far as scheduling goes. We shouldn't care. We shouldn't matter. I mean, you and I are living proof that we live in a time-shifted world now where people want to consume information from wherever and whenever they choose. So that's why my agency has doubled and tripled down on using Vidyard, this video software tool, where all day long we're sending videos to Doctor. All day long.
Really?
And we don't care.
Yeah.
We don't care if they open it up at midnight.
Yeah.
But we can tell on the back end if and when they opened it up. And so I just thought through, what's the easiest way to do business with busy surgeons and hospitals? And it's giving them ideas for free that they're like, man, this is such valuable information. I can only imagine what it would be like if I paid these guys.
That's a, it really taps into this idea of, I was speaking to another, a couple marketers yesterday, and we were talking about the importance that it is to give. And not just from that cheesy standpoint, like, you know, oh yeah, give, and then ask, right? We all know that stuff. Well, at least some of us can say it, but very, lots of times we don't do it. But the importance of doing it for yourself, even from your own mental state of giving something of value to people, whether they choose to double down on it or bite into it is up to them. But it just releases a lot of these healthy endorphins throughout you. And during this challenging moment, what's the point of keeping, if you have some great insights, some great information, what is the point of holding it to yourself?
Yes.
Like, I mean, like you have it tucked away in its closet. Nobody knows. It's proprietary. Actually, everybody knows what it is, but still.
Oh yeah. And we, it's so true. And we will, here's how thick-headed we are. And I put myself into this category once upon a time, Joe.
Yeah.
We will wait for the phone to ring. We will go poor waiting for the phone to ring. And
yes.
It's just so counterintuitive. I mean, you know, the stuff that I'm teaching, we've got a course called the Medical Sales RX, the virtual operating Zoom for virtual and disruptive distributors. We've got medical sales professionals from Australia, Hong Kong, Illinois, New York City, all over the country that are taking this course that we're teaching. And what I've learned to tell them is the fundamentals which allowed you to be a great sales professional pre-COVID, they still apply.
Yeah.
They still apply. Don't leave common sense at the door and don't confuse virtual as a strategy. It's not. Virtual is not a strategy. It's just the way that people communicate. And I go, hey, I go, it would be like you using a beeper.
Yeah.
Right now, it would be like you saying, you know, the beeper worked well for me in 19. I'm going to hold on to it. I hope that beeper helps you grow your business. Good luck with that. You know,
man you know, what's so funny about time is that, I don't feel like I'm that old, but all of a sudden I feel like I'm like aging myself as a producer. I have my first baby on the way, actually. So my wife's in a third trimester, and all of a sudden I feel like I'm this old guy, right? but
oh yeah, wait till you get to be my age and you truly are.
I mean, man, but you always operate just so young, man. And you know, I remember my very first beeper. It was like 96 97. I worked on my grandfather's wood yard, chopping wood all throughout the summer, because he had a wood yard down there in Georgia, and that's what we did. We busted it up. That's how we just made our money. And I went down the street and I bought a beeper with no one to call me. So I was the coolest kid on the block with like nobody to actually call me with the beeper, right?
So, oh yeah, it's so true. And you know, I mean, I think people are shocked when they find out that, like, for myself and my agency, they see us creating tons of content, valuable content on LinkedIn. Here's what they don't see, Joe. Mm-hmm. We have something called 7 before 7 a.m. And 7 before 7 a.m. is me and a couple people on our team. We must reach out to 7 new decision makers before 7 a.m. with a personalized Vidyard. And, you know, 7 times 5, the 5 working days of the week, it adds up.
Oh, yeah.
And so what I tell people is that, hey, before you start going down the, nope, you need to drive across the state of Texas and stalk doctors. Hey, you need to send so many emails. Hey, you need to do so many phone calls. I'm like, just think of how you and I respond. if my cell phone rings, I don't answer that thing live. I let it go to voicemail, unless it's a friend, somebody that I know. I mean, most people that I know of, they are, you know, not, just waiting for it to go to voicemail to determine whether it's spam or salesy or whatever. And, mm-hmm. and our clients are the same way. So the ability to pivot, and the reason why we're so bullish on tools like Vidyard is in 30 seconds, I can say, Dr. Lemon, my name is Matthew Scott. I bet you didn't expect to get a video of some majestic hillbilly waving at you on a video, but I just thought this would be a more personalized way to connect with you on LinkedIn that's different than the same sea of sameness that you get. And then I hang up.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't tell them what we do at Feed. I don't tell them that, hey, your best friend, he's a client of ours. Yeah. I don't do any of that. And then they're curious. And I know they're curious because on Vidyard, I look and I see, boom, Dr. Scratch and Sniff just watched your video. Now, at the end of that, built into Vidyard, it says schedule a 15-minute chat. And Joe, I'm going to show you something.
Please.
This is meant not to impress you, but to impress upon you. But here's my calendar today. You see blue?
Jeez.
Blue working, means busy.
Man. Yeah.
Yeah. But here's what's cool. Again, I don't mean that in a braggadocious way. I mean this in, it's connecting with people. It's creating content so that they schedule a 15-minute chat with you. And what I love about that is if I ask people, would you rather have a business where people contact you mm-hmm. or you got to hustle and convince people to talk to you? Which one would you choose?
Always.
And of course, the always. First one.
Yeah, always.
And so what I say is do what your mother taught you and add value. Be a good steward. Give away generously. Hey, instead of looking at new modern sales gurus, spend 30 minutes listening to an old school dude like Zig Ziglar say, help, and that Mississippi accent. That Mr. Yeah. I had a chance to meet him, Joe.
Get out of here, man.
I did. I had a chance to meet him.
Is he as good in person as he is like on the tapes and on the videos and all the rest of that stuff?
Joe, he's a gentleman. Yeah. And you get the picture. And I mean, this is a sign of respect to Mr. Ziglar, who's passed away. You get the opinion that you're listening to a respected uncle, which we got a crazy uncle. Every family does.
Yeah.
You know, because my crazy uncle made me have a beeper and haul hay all summer instead of chop wood. So I know what you're living through, Joe. And then we have the cool uncle.
Yeah.
Or then we have, depending upon our age, the grandfather. And a grandfather who imparted wisdom into us as grandchildren. And I was lucky. I had two grandfathers. When I spoke to him, I felt like he was a wise man, a man who was confident in himself, and a man who just wanted to leave the world a better place. And what Mr. Ziglar said was, help enough people get what they want in this world, and everything that you want will just come back to you. And Mr. Ziglar was right about that. And that is looked upon as old man's guidance,
yeah.
But it's evergreen. It's evergreen. And so I remember 2019, January of 2019, mm-hmm. you know, saying my whole business model is going to be on adding value. And to use your phrase, Joe, I let go of the outcome. I just simply said, what's the worst that could happen? I add great value. I give ideas. If somebody doesn't think that's good enough, it's good enough for me. I don't have to beg them to do business. And our business exploded in 2019 and 2020. I believe that it's directly proportional to help enough people, mm-hmm. add enough value, they'll find a way to pay you.
You know, I can't think of a better way for us to wrap up. I have more, but I mean, this is too good for us to kind of pause right there. And, you know, I think that there's a ton there. And to people listening, there's a lot of great things that are happening on LinkedIn. With that being said, it's some of the old school basics for a lot of people in this industry, I can't speak to tech and a lot of other places, but to healthcare, where so much of it is, it's back to the blocking and tackling of building your whole business, right? You don't have to do flea flickers. You don't have to go and do any crazy stunts to kind of get some real traction in your business, and helping people at the core of it and doing it in a simplistic way.
Yes.
You really can't beat that, man. So.
Yeah. And you're doing that, Joe. I'm not saying that as a plug. You're doing that. I'm watching you, you know,
appreciate it.
And it's going to come back full circle. And the answer is always give more.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily do more. It's give more. And, you know, whether one has a spiritual bent or whether one has a work ethic bent, it all leads to the same full circle that, you know, what goes around comes around. And, you know, years ago, I gave up the burden of getting new clients years ago. And I just started focusing on how can I become more interesting, create ideas that are great ideas that anybody, in my case, doctors, who hears them goes, that's a great idea. I should do that. Hmm. That I spent more time focusing on helping, adding value, and coming up with ideas. And I spent less time selling the products that they'll, or the services that they'll ultimately buy from us.
No, you know, I mean, Matthew, man, honestly, having these conversations are phenomenal to me, because it's like it grounds people throughout these craziness, turbulent times when it's like, oh, we're open, oh, now we're closed. And, you know, this crazy dance that everyone's going through today. So last two questions. One, I want to know where the feed is going, where you guys locked in at, where are you guys going to bring the most value around? And then the last piece is that you have to tell people how to find you as well.
Yeah. So here's where we're moving. We are moving in 2021 to become teachers. So we're fortunate, we're blessed. We've got a lot of business with medical device companies and surgeons that hire us to handle their branding, handle their marketing. So we're blessed to do that. And we do that through websites, through videos, through patient marketing. So we're blessed. That's not going to leave us. But in 2021, we're going to become teachers. And we're already doing it right now. We're building online courses. And we're going to educate the next generation or the current generation of medical professionals. I mean, and I don't mean MD, I mean you and I, mm-hmm. people that came from sales and marketing and branding. And we're going to create online learning platforms that are going to help them focus on how to build digital relationships, how to create brand awareness, how to build authority, and how to repurpose their income in this time period where we're not going to be face-to-face in front of, you know, Dr. Scratch and Smith anytime soon. Mm-hmm. So our pivot is we love education. Like you, Joe, we take ongoing education serious, and we're going to build it within our space. We're, you know, one of our new launches is the Medical Marketing College,
okay,
where the next generation of practice marketers, medical device marketers, they're going to come through our college in 2021, and we're going to prepare them to succeed in the way that the intersection of healthcare and business is going.
That's a big deal, man. That's a big deal for multiple reasons. One, there aren't a lot of modern marketing universities, schools, platforms out there where you can go learn. And the crazy part is that there's a big question too for marketers, especially of the value of going to get your 4-year degree. I mean, I'm not trying to stop anybody from going, but I had this one group on my podcast, and it was some kids actually. YouTube, they were doing, I think they had about 2 million followers on like YouTube. They made decent money already. They were still in high school with their parents kind of doing, you know, they're all kind of at this one house where they would make.
What a great audience that must have been.
I mean, they're just killing it.
And I love it.
And it's like, I was asking them, and they're not even thinking about college. One of them wasn't even thinking about finishing high school. And I was like, well, that's a little, I was like, I don't know why you're going to do that. But I mean, but look, you know, live out your dream. Like, who am I? I'm this one guy with an idea, you know, you can go live your purpose. Right. And these guys are making good money in high school, six figure, you know, incomes in high school. And so you have to ask yourself, and they're asking themselves, does it make sense for me to go get a higher education? Whereas I can go take a course, learn from someone that's been in the trenches today, not in theory, right? Practical application. And, you know, they can move on to their next pivot, right? I mean, moving yes. forward. So I think the education is major, man. I think it's great.
It is. And education, the lines are going to be blurred because what we're creating is we're not only going to educate the next generation of the Joe Lemons and the Matthew Scotts and the Colin Josephs, mm-hmm. we're going to help them find a job.
Oh, man.
And, yeah. So, and
take it up a notch. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And we're saying to them, we could give a rip if you've got a college degree.
Yeah.
Hey, we could give a rip if you've got 5 years of spine experience or orthopedics experience. Oh, because man. You see, this is where medical device is shooting themselves in the foot.
Yeah.
When I was coming through the ranks, and even when you were coming through the ranks, it was like, well, we can only hire you if you have this type of specific experience.
Yep.
And the best of the best are like, hey, I'm 26 years old. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not old enough to have been given this opportunity. That's why I'm coming to see you, recruiter, mm-hmm. or that's why I'm coming to see you, director of human resources. I can do this. I'm willing to hustle. Mm-hmm. And so what we're saying on the marketing, and it's still to this day, if you and I were interviewing at, if you and I were 24 years old again, or 26 years old again, and we were going to Medtronic, they would say, you don't have a degree.
Yeah.
And, you know, what we're seeing with education changing is we're seeing kids, I use kids because I've got kids that range from 30 to 21.
Okay.
And what I know to be true is we told our kids, we could care less if you go to college. I mean, now granted, if you're a parent, don't listen to me. I'm just, you know, a hillbilly with kids. Our kids, you know, we're Fulbright scholars. I mean, they're smart kids,
yeah.
But we told them, we're like, hey, it's not a big deal to us. We want you to live on purpose. Yeah. We want you to declare your passion. You don't need 4 years of searching in the wilderness of, you know, you just don't need that anymore in this modern tense. Now our kids, you know, went on to pursue their education, but it's never been important to us. What's important to us is mom and dad. Mm-hmm. Are we equipping our kids to learn, and are we giving them the tools to make smart decisions that put them into a posture for success? And so what I say to the next generation, and Joe, there's a 42-year-old person, you know him and I know him. There's a 42-year-old person who's going to be a part of that medical marketing college that we create.
Yeah.
And they're going to reclaim their passion because you see, they were sold a bill of goods.
Yep.
The bill of goods that they bought into was I got to be a medical device sales consultant. And they hated it.
Mm-hmm.
They hated it. Mm-hmm. They've got marketing chops and interest. But when we get through with them and they go on to be the creative director at the top orthopedic practice in Olympia, Washington, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. thank you is going to be uttered. And we're going to go, thank you. Just go do good things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so that was the goal with medical marketing colleges is we obviously have the skill set to teach them how to do healthcare specific branding and marketing. But what's important to me is somebody not being shut down by a recruiter or not being shut down by a pretentious medical device manager who says, you don't have enough specific experience. Bring me those people. Mm-hmm. Let us train those people. And that's a good day.
I love that so much, man, because I know that world because I bang my head on so many doors, so many turned down applications, so many thank you for applying, auto-generated emails, right, when I was trying to break into the space. And it was only by working with a smaller med device company after showing, and I've had to bring POs whenever I was closing out other deals to prove that I can do the job. And it was like, I had all the, you know, accolades there, you know, President's Club stuff, the awards, the emails, but I didn't have any med device work experience. Didn't have any relevant healthcare experience. And that's what held me off for that 2-year period when I was just fighting my way to try to get in. And so being able to fast track that, man, because there's so many great people that want to be in this space. They just don't know where the actual opening is, right? Where the whole door is for them to kind of get in and do it the way that makes sense with their actual dreams for themselves. So I think that's going to be great, man. I think that's a great, great option for people out there. So, all right, tell everybody how to find you, how to find the actual education that's coming up as well. I think that's going to be really important.
Yeah, so to learn about our agency, Feed the Agency, go to feedtheagency.com. Yeah. You'll see portfolio work. If you're a surgeon listening to me, if you're a medical device guy, you'll see some of your own doctors or your buddies on our website with us working. So that's on the professional side. For me, just go to LinkedIn and go to Matthew Ray Scott. Yes, you may have grown up in the South if you use your middle name, Joe, because you're Georgia, right?
Yeah. Well, you know what? I was born and raised in Pittsburgh, but my whole family's from Georgia. So like, yeah, I mean, I was there every summer. Like, yeah, yeah. I
guess yeah, you know, you spend time in Georgia, which, yeah, I was stationed at Fort Benning, Georgia for several years. So, yeah. You know, between Georgia and Arkansas, we say yes or no, sir. And right. when our mother uses our middle name, it's game on.
That's right.
So
yeah, you don't want to hear drop it to the middle portion of your name there, man. That's going to be a whole different experience with mom.
Yeah. So I tell people my father was my hero. I did not have to look any further than my father, and he unexpectedly died, and he was Daryl Ray Scott. The day he died, I became Matthew. My middle name really is Ray. So my father's Daryl Ray Scott. I'm Matthew Ray Scott. The day that my father died, I added my middle name to say, I salute you. I appreciate you.
I love that, man. Man, you know what, Matthew Ray Scott, man, as promised, you did not let down, man. So we got to do this again at some point down the line,
yes,
man.
Sir.
I know you put out a ton of content. So I look forward to having you back, man.
Yeah. I love what you're doing. I support what you're doing. I appreciate you. You know, what you're doing, I say, why is not everybody else doing this? I mean, this is a no-brainer. Just connect with people that, you know, have insights. Record it.
Yeah.
Share it. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a no-brainer. Why isn't everybody doing this? And, so what the question that I've been posing, and we'll head out to everybody, is why is Medtronic and Smith & Nephew and Boston Scientific not doing the same thing that you and I are doing, creating a media presence? You see, you and I are not just creating content. You see, over time, yep, you and I are a media outlet. We're a media agency. Now, my media agency is dedicated to left-handed orthopedic surgeons with one eyebrow.
Yeah.
That's my tribe.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Anybody else outside of that, I love them.
Yeah.
But they're not my tribe.
They might not fully get it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they don't fully get it. So why eyebrows, not create exactly. So why not create a tribe of like-minded people that you can give value, and they go, anything synonymous with branding, mm-hmm, I'm going to Matthew Ray Scott and I'm going to hire Feed the Agency. That's why we do it.
I love it, man. I love it. You know, that's a great way for us to wrap up, because I can tell you, it's only a matter of time before these big guys do. And so while we got this actual space to kind of operate, we should dominate this whole time just for ourselves.
Yes, sir.
Not because we're trying to take over anything else, but there's just too much green space out there, man.
I hear you, Joe. And you and I have already established that we're both ridiculously good looking and humble. I don't know how we do it.
I'm super humble, man, with all these
people. We're just keeping it humble.